love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
You know what? I just got an award about an hour ago.
Really?
Named after David Arquette's mom.
Really?
Yeah. The Southern California Counseling Center. Isn't that interesting?
Really?
Yeah.
That's
people,
right.
By the way, if people ever wonder if Adam and I actually talk before the show, this is living proof that we do not.
Yeah. Well, we got this little intercom system we can talk back and forth.
I mean, what do we need air for to have discussions?
Where is it? I
left without it.
Oh, it's at home?
No. It's still the people still have it that gave it to me.
What?
I had to get out. I had to go. They didn't finish the ceremony. I had to go
come here.
They
hand you the award? What'd you do? Leave it? What is it? It's not like the Stanley Cup or anything.
No, people
get to take turns carrying it around.
No.
Well, they called you up on stage.
Yeah.
And they gave you the award.
Yeah.
And then you handed it back to them and left.
No, I shouldn't get it handed to me.
Oh.
Yeah. So
where is it?
I don't know.
They never presented it to you.
There was actually pictures presenting, but then when the presentation actually happened, it didn't change hands. So. So there you go.
What was the award?
It was named after this. She became a counselor, his mom, after
the Arquettes.
Yeah.
After Roseanne Arquette.
After raising
David Arquette.
In that commune, she then became a pretty talented counselor and died of breast cancer then.
Oh, so they put a award in her name.
Yeah.
And then they give it out to who?
To somebody every year. I got it this year.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. Good time.
All right.
Then Tony Shalhoub got another one.
And, what did he do?
I don't know. I didn't stay for that because I had to go to do this.
Well, you didn't know what Tony Shalhoub got an award for?
I didn't get to hear the history. They get up and tell the history of the award and stuff.
He plays a nut job on TV.
Yeah, well, that's what the award's for, obviously.
Yeah, that's what you...
That's...
No. He might get one for playing somebody with a syndrome.
Maybe.
In Monk, you know?
Yeah.
He's got that thing going.
I actually invited him to be on this show, and he's thinking about it.
He is?
Yeah.
All right.
They took all the info. It was his assistant was very enthusiastic about it.
His assistant.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Drew, another award.
Yeah.
Something else to go in the on the mantle.
Hmm.
We got a Shine Award, me and Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those Shine Awards. They used to give these Lucite, basically Washington Monument.
Obelisk. Small obelisk.
It's just a monolith. Really, made out of Lucite. There was a time in the late 80s, early 90s, and went all the way through the mid-90s when they had no idea what to make trophies out of anymore, so they started making them out of clear plastic.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool for like 8 years, and then it got horrible. But we won the Shine Award. What was the Shine Award, Drew?
Sexual Health and Entertainment.
Yeah, because we, from being on MTV,
we were
being very responsible.
Right. Even though MTV never saw it that way, strangely.
Right. The Shine Award we won a couple of years, but the Shine Award we won was the episode that Caroline Ray was on.
Right.
And my Shine Award had Caroline Ray's name in large block letters, and then my name printed very small. It was probably on the bottom of the award. You'd have to peel the felt back, and you could actually see my name. So I put it up on my mantelpiece, and every time someone would come over, they'd say, "Why do you have Caroline Ray's award?"
Right.
And I'd say, "Well, it is kind of stupid to put the other person's name in huge letters and then ours in much smaller lettering because it doesn't seem like it's our award."
Right.
So eventually I got a Sharpie, and I went over Caroline Ray's name.
You got so tired of having to explain that.
Well, then I had to explain why I took a Sharpie to Caroline, because now people went up to it and went, "Why'd you take a shoe polish to Caroline Ray's award?"
No, it's mine. Do you have a kid that lives here? Did you take a crayon to this thing?
Yeah, no, that was just me, everybody.
That was you in the middle of the night after you finished masturbating with your medicine.
Right.
Just looking, going, "I got to change that."
Right. Then the following year, we won a Shine Award.
Yeah.
Now, you recall what happened at that ceremony?
No. Yes, you threw a tantrum.
I had a tantrum.
Yes, you had quite a tantrum.
A tantrum.
Yes, I didn't realize that was that
a
ceremony.
A tantrum. Yes, and I'm not really tantrum-oriented.
No,
I go on crazy jags.
Yeah.
But I'm not tantrum-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
This was a tantrum.
It's something to do with the photographs.
1 year earlier, Drew and I had publicity photographs, which made me look like I had Down syndrome and made Drew look like he had spina bifida. You look like you're in a wheelchair,
right.
And you're sort of half-shaded and sort of look like you right. had some sort of spinal disease
like
or
Timmy.
Something. Yeah, you look like Timmy from South Park. Yeah. Drew was sort of hunched over and sort of emaciated. I just look like I had Down syndrome, really.
Yes.
And it was
Timmy and Jimmy everywhere.
Look, I'm not that vain a guy. Yeah. I'm really not. It was the worst picture I'd ever seen. Not of us, not of me. It's just the worst picture I've ever seen. It was comically bad. It's like what you do if you were effing with someone.
Right.
This is the picture you would show them, right?
Right.
So I said 1 year ago, hey.
1 year before that.
1 year before that, this picture. It's got to be gone. It's got to be gone by this time next year at the Shine Awards or something. I'm going to throw a tantrum or whatever it is. And something happened where it was the next year at the Shine Awards and where, you know what it was? We were in the, we're standing in the thing and I said, walk down the red carpet.
Yeah.
And take some pictures.
Yeah.
And I said, pictures. That's right. You'd like me to take some pictures, but none of you idiots. And then everyone around me was the producers and it was our manager and everyone. And everyone kept trying to cool me down and I kept pointing at the next person, go, you didn't do anything either. Eventually I told everyone to F off and I just left.
Well, you didn't even stay.
I didn't go to the awards.
Oh, really? I forgot.
Yeah.
That.
It was a big thing. But Drew.
Well done.
Well.
Went down in history as a major event. We talk about it all the time still.
I'm just saying, Drew.
Yeah, yeah. No,
well,
hey,
it gave everyone a year to
you
get rid of the picture. F off.
You know what?
Kiss my took eye.
I'm a little bit fearful.
You start,
I'm a little fearful of how much your stuff I've taken on over the years.
But who?
Then I didn't understand, but there was great wisdom in that.
Right, let me ask Michelle.
Great
Michelle.
No, great wisdom in that moment, and I have been praying at the altar of that wisdom for quite some time.
Okay, listen, everybody, let's take some calls. Well, I'm saying you can ask the first time, ask nicely. The second time, ask sort of nicely, a little more sternly. The third time, F off.
By the way, that was not the third time.
It was the 28th time.
Yeah.
F off.
Yeah,
I know. Shauna, oh God, we got to find that picture. True, find that picture.
I'm sure I can find one.
All right, you're 16, Shauna. What's up?
Hey, oh my God, I love you guys.
Shauna.
Thanks, baby doll.
Yeah, I actually have three questions, but you want me to ask you the first one now?
You ask all of them. Here
ask
we go.
Us the second one, then we'll go back to the first,
and then
we'll do the third.
2, 1, 3.
All right.
It's our favorite pair.
Here we go.
All right, my question is every time I masturbate, it's really hard for me to, so I push really hard.
Okay, hold on, sweetie. That's the third question.
No,
we said 2, 1, 3.
All right, okay, fine. 2 and 3. Should I move in with my boyfriend after I graduate from high school?
No.
Like, we get an apartment together?
No.
Do we?
No.
We missed our 8-ball over here?
No, I'd say no. I'd say no. No, no, no. Go to college.
Well, after high school? Wait, what grade are you in?
I'm a junior right now.
You're going to Muir or PHS?
I go to Poly.
Ooh. That's where my kids go.
That's where.
Yeah, I know. I see you all the time. I love you, Drew. I love you.
Yeah, she's going to pollute the pond, Drew. Don't hang out with Drew's kids. You don't need them soiled.
Now, why aren't you going to college?
Well, the thing is that I have ADD, but the colleges won't let me. Like, they won't let me get the extra time on SATs. So even though I was getting, like, 2100s out of 2400 on the new thing, now I'm getting 1620s because I don't get extra time.
All right, but Shauna, go to college. Honestly, go to college. Don't worry about the boyfriend. You work on yourself. Focus on what makes you happy.
Well, yeah,
what
I'm
going
to go to college. I just want to know if I could live with them at the same time.
It usually doesn't work out. It's to try to sustain a high school relationship through college. You can do it, but
living together.
Here's the thing,
Shauna.
Uh-huh.
First off, you're trying to figure this out. And you got a year and change before we're getting to this point. You guys will probably be broken up by that point anyway.
Well, but you're supposed to. Let's put it that way. That's how it works.
Okay, let me say something, Drew.
By the way, she cannot ask those other questions.
I don't want to sound condescending. All right, just listen to me.
But if she's on ADD medication, that may be why she's having to do that so vigorously.
When you're a kid and you're young, you sort of fantasize. You go, we're going to start our own business, man. We're going to be rock stars. We're going to be professional athletes.
Well, high school students will never we'll see each other forever. We'll never let go of this relationship.
There's a lot of fantasy. Yeah. Even in high school, there's a lot of fantasy.
Even in high school.
Well,
That's when it peaks.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is when you're in high school, you don't exactly have that. We're all going to live on an island in Hawaii and surf professionally.
Right.
But you do have that. We'll know each other forever. We'll be boyfriend and girlfriend or best friends forever.
Right.
Why crap on that dream at this stage of the game?
No, right. And
why not say, go ahead and move out with him in a year and a half, they'll be broken up.
Her being in the relationship throughout high school is not the bad thing, right? It's a good thing. Stable, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, but I just want her to be realistic. I don't want her to subjugate or sort of put as a lesser priority her education. That needs to go first.
Okay.
Then the boyfriend thing, okay, if it works out, fine.
Shauna.
Yes?
Okay. Now, what's the other question?
No.
Drew doesn't want to hear it. Why?
Just
because you go to school with these people? I'll answer it.
I'm leaving the room.
All right, Drew's leaving.
But it may be the medication, Sean, so I'll be back when Adam's done.
Go ahead.
All right, well, I was wondering is it possible
Drew, you should be punching out, by the way. You should be on the clock. You punch out. Punch out.
The clock?
Punch. Punch out.
Out the clock?
Punch out. Clock? How many things do you punch out? You think you punch out a calendar? Of course you punch out a clock. Shauna?
Hello.
Okay, hi. What's the other question? And here's the thing. Drew's kids go to your school. He's freaked out.
It's okay. I see him all the time. I played with this kid last year during the carnival.
You go to the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for albino hemophiliacs?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's the name of the football team?
I don't know. The Panthers. We're the Poly Panthers.
Ooh, alliteration. I like that.
Yeah.
If you don't go to college, I think you'll be the first kid who went to Poly who didn't go to college.
I'm going to community college for 2 years.
They may put a hit squad on you.
Yeah, I know. They hate me right now.
They will kill you. That you understand? That is like rubbing a fecal matter on their good name.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, Drew went to Poly.
Well, that's tight.
Yeah. His kids are legacies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead, Shauna. You've been going there your whole life?
No, just in sixth grade.
Sixth grade on? Okay.
Yeah.
She hasn't got to the question yet, Drew.
I heard something distressing.
What's that?
I heard something about a junior college.
All right.
Yeah.
You want my question now?
No.
Drew's upset about the junior college.
I'm back to talk about that. That's more important.
Yeah. Drew's very upset that someone from his alma mater may end up going to a junior college. And like I said, I don't know if that's allowed. I mean, they may put you in the ground before they'll make it look like an accident. Cut the brake lines.
Sean, come on. You got the 2100 going. Let's find a school that, Pitzer or something that really looks at these things more progressively.
Yeah. It'll be one of those scenes like from Goodfellas where it's like, what happened to Shauna? She got a fire accident. She's gone and that's that. But what? That's that. And they just move on. Right?
That's it.
And there's nothing anyone could do about it.
Anyway, Shauna, the problem you're having otherwise is probably for your medication, your ADD meds. So I'll talk to your doctor about that.
Masturbates a lot. Drew doesn't want to talk about that. All right. I just want to say bye to her. Shauna.
Yes?
Shauna, you can ask me in the privacy of the campus there.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you there, okay?
Wait, I can ask you a really quick question.
What is it?
Okay, can you make your clit smaller by...
Drew's too freaked out because she goes to Drew's kids' high school. Well, it's not their high school. It's their nursery. It's their kindergarten. It's grade school. It's junior high, and it's high school, right? It goes all the way through?
All the way through, yeah.
First grade?
Kindergarten.
Ooh.
Pre-kindergarten.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, indoctrination.
Yeah.
Hitler Youth.
Yeah.
Goose stepping in the first grade.
Right.
Then it's oven building in the third grade, and then it's...
easy.
Yeah.
Shauna, you can't. No, nothing will do that, but your medicines.
Easy on the meds.
Yeah.
Oh, her parents are pissed. Let's.
Hey, real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
I just went to the fecal matter for sale site again because I wanted to show my friend. And all the same names are up there except some of the prices have changed. And
mine's gone up.
No, yours is. They're having an overstock sale.
Oh, they got to move it. It's dealing days on Drew's poo.
And the bacteria is a special promotion. It's also been cut.
My bacteria?
Yeah, but no one else's has changed.
Wow.
So they obviously heard you talking about it on air.
Wow, dealing days.
Well, here's the thing. We're overstocked with Drew's poo, and we got to move it this weekend. No reasonable offer refused. Yeah. Yeah, you go down to...
What's the site?
Well, it's John Baker, the deal maker. He's the guy who's moving that, dude.
Wait, but what's move the site? In. What's the site?
$5 over invoice.
Clever enough with Google, they can find it.
Well, what is it?
It's one of those ones that goes on and on. Plus, do we want to promote?
It's too long.
Oh, the address is too long.
Yeah.
I got it.
$1 over invoice.
But it's celebrity poo and bacteria, right?
They're overstocked.
What bacteria did they get?
Just
from
like celebrity fecal sale.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Anderson. Let me tell you,
I like the commercials, the car commercials, where the guy's explaining that if the boss finds out he ordered too many Scions, he's going to get fired, so he's got to move them.
Quick.
He's got to move them quick.
Before the boss finds out.
They're overstocked. It's dealing days.
I overstocked, so you benefit.
Yeah.
I made a mistake.
I like that, too. I always like the $1 over invoice one, too. Like, so let's see. That Lincoln... That Ford Explorer, you're selling me for $27,596. You guys just making $1 on that? Well, you'd have to sell a lot of them. I mean, this is a pretty big car lot. You got a pretty big nut. Just the lease alone, you have to sell thousands of them in a day just to make that. All right, Drew. You disturbed?
Mm-hmm.
All right. They're dealing on Drew's fecal matter.
That's like a 1-2 punch for me, you know.
Here's the thing. When it comes to celebrity fecal matter, buy low, sell high. That's how I am.
That's why you're a millionaire.
Teresa? Yeah. I didn't get this. I didn't get where I am by paying retail for celebrity fecal. Teresa?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. I can't have an orgasm. Me and my boyfriend have been together forever. We're completely comfortable. Hey, if you can have an orgasm, you'd be crying too.
Well, Now, wait a minute. Why is it so necessary if it's something that doesn't happen? You see what I'm saying? If you needed to have one, you'd have one.
Because everyone's telling me how much I'm missing out. Right. And my boyfriend, it's not a big deal for me because, we have a great sex life. And it feels good. I'm not going to say it doesn't. But I just never get...
Teresa, you probably haven't. I'm of the opinion that many women don't really sort of come online with this till they're in their early 20s. It's not something that's going to happen, no matter how hard you try. Your brain has to develop a little further. Some other things have to happen. Maybe it's on the level of spinal mechanisms. This is the example of something I call receptivity. Women can have perfectly satisfying sexual experiences just with the experience of being close and being receptive without orgasm. And men cannot understand how it could be satisfying without an orgasm.
No. We get blue balls.
Right. Your orgasm function is...
We get punished
function
by our
is,
own scrotum
right,
sack
your drive
we don't have an orgasm.
Right. Your drive to orgasm
physically, literally punished by our own scrotum.
And that's a lifelong...
Literally punished.
Literally punished.
Literally punished.
Literally much of your
literally
life.
Literally... Well, disciplined by our own sack,
and
literally
with your scrotum, the
literally brought to my knees.
Over it's
well, it's 50% of my mass.
It's not brought to you; it's to your knees.
It's
now.
It's on my knee.
Yeah, and so Teresa, this isn't going to happen to you until things sort of
well.
No,
all right,
not for a while.
How's the oral? Do you enjoy oral sex?
Yeah. I do, actually. Like, I've tried everything. Like, I know I've had my...
It will happen. It will happen when it's supposed to happen.
How about when you're alone? How about a vibrator?
Okay. Yeah, see, that's the problem is I feel awkward and I can't do it by myself.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
You got to get through that a little bit.
And by the way...
Bathtub's another way.
Ooh, forgot about the tub.
The shower head, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the whole thing. If you're uncomfortable... so uncomfortable that you can't be alone and take care of yourself, then you're just what Drew said. You're not online yet. You're not ready.
Right.
I mean, that's just...
I mean, Adam, can you imagine that?
I do my best work alone. You know what I'm saying? That's when I shine. I wish I, had
a
tape of myself.
That shine award.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm...
I'm
alone, I'm a
saying.
Ninja, a maniac. Anyone else in the room?
What are you, ninja or a maniac?
I'm a ninja knack.
Ninja maniac.
And a ninja knack. Yeah, I'm a man and ninja. Let's take a break, Drew. Who do we got to talk to? Ooh, what happened to my big jugs call?
I know, dropped off.
Oh!
Oh, wait, here they are, down here. Here she is.
Huh?
Oh, quiet your heart, quiet.
That was close. Kelly?
Yes.
21?
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, about a year ago, I had experienced amenorrhea due to bad proportions of muscle to fat and whatnot, and my parents encouraged me to go to counseling for body image problems. I wasn't like starving myself. I was eating sort of a weird diet, a lot of protein.
Hold on.
What did she say? Amenorrhea?
She stopped. Her period stopped because she lost so much weight.
What'd she say, though?
Amenorrhea, which means a period.
She didn't say that, then. She's
pretty mispronounced. Oh, it's okay. Really, it's actually technically oligomenorrhea that she had.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she lost a lot of weight. She had clearly a body image problem and probably some form of an eating disorder, and she was sent to counseling.
Okay. Ooh-ooh. So, period-stopping amenorrhea?
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Actually, since then, I have put back on the appropriate amount of weight, and I started just sort of a generic estrogen hormone therapy to start my periods back up. Mm-hmm. And I'm off the estrogen now because my periods started and they've been happening every other week now.
Right.
And my breast went from a D cup to a double E over like the course of about 2 months on
double
the estrogen.
E. Double E?
I don't know. Everyone just sort of
make
things up.
Yeah. It's not Kelly making it up. It's whoever's making her bras. Just
right. Now, what are your dimensions?
I have a 40 double E breast and then a 30-inch waist and 40-inch hips. I'm 6 feet tall.
Ooh, wow. How much do you weigh?
I weighed myself on Monday. I weighed 172.
Mm-hmm. I could do some radio math, but we don't have time. So, Kelly,
I've actually got the strange feeling that she actually weighs less than that.
172?
I actually got a strange feeling that she's over...
Really?
Yeah.
No.
To keep herself, you know, eating less. Mm. Like a,
What? How low did you get? It's your lowest weight.
I weighed 130.
Oof. 130. Six foot.
6 feet tall.
Yeah. So, now, what's the question then?
How do I make the period stop? And the breasts are causing me pain, and I want to avoid surgery if possible. I mean, 21 years old is a little too young to be.
Are you exercising regularly?
I do. That's pretty much why I went through the amenorrhea in the first place.
Right. You're an exercise, a compulsive exerciser too, huh?
All through high school I was an athlete, and just it got worse and worse. I was spending 6 hours in the gym some days.
Yeah, the answer is yes, you're compulsive.
How much did you weigh when you were compulsively exercising?
That was when I weighed 130.
All right, you need to go, well.
Well, let me say this. Am I off here? Could you lose, get down to 155 or something? Boobs might shrink a little?
Well, I've been exercising. It's just my doctor, my therapist actually encouraged me to eat, you know, normal meals. I was eating a lot of protein. I mean, it was kind of like the Atkins diet, but not for the, you know, the same reasons. I was lifting a lot of weights and trying to maintain muscle bulk. And
all right, listen. Kelly, you may need to get on a birth control pill if you want to regulate your periods.
How do I make the period stop?
If you want to stop, you can go on Depo Provera, but that may affect your mood a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's some nuttiness here.
Yeah.
How do I make the period stop?
Yeah, it's haunting. Kelly, so you're talking to a therapist. Do you have a therapist, or is it just a doctor?
I have a gynecologist and a therapist that I'm both seeing right now for...
That's good. But by the way, having your period every 2 weeks is no big deal.
No.
Why are you so freaked out about that?
I don't know. Let's take a commercial.
But the point is...
Talk to the therapist,
your period,
doctor.
The probability is if you regulate your diet, exercise regularly, the periods will regularize on their own. They will just reestablish themselves. If you want to go on a couple cycle of birth control pill to try to get it sort of online a little bit or back in line, you can do that. But the estrogens obviously may make you gain more weight, may make your breasts even bigger.
Very, very disappointing big jug call, Drew. I got to tell you, that just laid there flat. You know what?
I thought it was kind of interesting.
May as well have A cups with that.
How do I make the period stop?
Amenorrhea and the period. Here's the whole thing.
Yeah.
The big jugs is evened out. The flame of the big jugs is doused by the baking soda of the period.
So you can't stand the period talk, huh?
I don't like the period talk.
Well,
you know, it's like taking your. It's like for me, it's like taking, you know when you have a stew or a salad or something you really like, and then somebody puts a bunch of crap in it that you don't like, and why'd they F it up?
Or like you're about to eat some sausage and somebody wants to show you pictures of the slaughterhouse or something.
Yeah, you know what's in there. You're in animal hostilities. It's like, listen, Stoner, can't I just finish my goddamn sausage?
My wiener.
Please. I just want to put some wiener in my mouth. Can I just chug some wiener? Please. Please. I've been dying.
Please put that on a reel.
I've been dying to chug wiener all day. I've been thinking about it at work. I couldn't wait until the weekend came when it was wiener chugging time. And you had to come over and get between my mouth and the wiener.
Wiener chugging time.
It feels so good. And that's a real good sign. Hey now.
Did you party too much for Cinco de Mayo or what?
Yeah, baby. I'm in a good mood tonight. We're going to keep this party train rolling.
All right, let's go.
All right, we'll be back after this. Yeah, everybody. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Finger popping.
It's finger popping time. Finger popping. Popping time.
All right.
Yeah, it's a hot song.
Hot, yes. That's the word that comes to mind.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's hop to the phones, Drew.
Veronica, who's 16.
Veronica?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, I laugh really hard whenever I kiss somebody. Like full-on laugh. And the guy that I make out with, they get really pissed off.
Are you giggling like it's something that makes you uncomfortable?
No, I'm just giggling like it's funny. Veronica! Sorry.
Who's that?
Mom.
I gotta hear this.
That's your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Make her call you again.
She a sea hag? Tell her, take that pipe out of her mouth before she calls you. She's smoking a corncob pipe. She's got a scarf over her head. She's all hunched over.
I just imagine her standing outside of a lighthouse.
Yeah, smoking that pipe. Big nose. Got one of those big warts on there with the hair coming out. Yeah. Let's hear her. What's she yelling about?
Hold on.
No.
What?
We don't know what she's yelling about.
She's yelling at me.
Why?
Because I'm on the phone.
Can we talk to her?
No. She's crazy.
She's what?
Crazy.
She's nuts.
What do you mean she's crazy?
What's she got?
No, nothing. I just think she's crazy.
Okay.
Are you Hispanic?
Hmm?
Are you Hispanic?
Yeah. Oh, my God, Mom. You're doing it on purpose.
Uh-oh.
What's she saying, Michelle?
She's talking.
What's she saying?
She's talking Mexican.
Michelle can translate.
No, I think she's mad because she's talking long distance or something.
No, she's just mad when I get on the phone. Really?
Didn't like you on the phone?
She gives you that,
Yeah.
Hey, listen. Yeah. Yeah, when people call and they go, yeah, is Veronica there? Does she go,
No.
And you go, Veronica, no, she's not here. And freak everyone out? Or can she just...
I like that. She's really normal.
Okay. Oh, you said she was difficult.
You said she was nuts. Yeah.
No, I call her crazy because sometimes she gets really funny.
We call that loco.
All right, so Veronica.
Cabeza.
Now, some people get.
She laughs.
Some people laugh when they're uncomfortable.
Yes.
They laugh when they're ashamed.
Yeah, you're 16 and you're shy.
Is it that?
Is that true?
Yeah.
All right, so it's just sort of if it's that uncomfortableness that evokes a laughter. Mom. What?
Sorry.
You know the thing, there's a weird thing. Like, Latin chicks are usually kind of shy when they're also. More likely to stab you than other chicks too, which is a weird duality. Huh. It shows range to me. There's the number one shy chicks, also number one shiv chicks.
Is that true?
Put a shiv in you. I'm going out on a limb and going, yeah, think so.
Huh?
You know, even the gangbanger chicks, you know, they're shy, but they'll cut you.
Oh, I see.
You know
in
what
other
saying?
Words, other ethnicities, it's, they wouldn't be shy if they were to shiv you.
Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. Black chicks. They're extroverts, and they
you know the one that's couldn't put
and
the
they might put a smackdown on you too.
Right.
All right. Asian chicks, they're quiet, but they ain't gonna stick you.
Didn't you see Kill Bill too?
Mexican Kick got a little range.
Did you see Kill Bill?
I'm talking range. I'm talking shy.
I'm just saying. I saw what happened in that movie.
I'm talking shy and we'll cut you.
Okay.
You don't see that.
The combo.
It's rangy.
The combo.
Now, anyone who thinks I'm saying that's bad, au contraire, I'm saying you're showing range. Am I right, Veronica?
Okay.
You're shy, but you'd put a shiv in somebody if you had to, right?
It is really true. I am. I get shy and then I get, like, I hesitate and I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Right.
All right.
Then the stabbing begins.
You need to get a boyfriend, Veronica. Just get somebody you to learn to feel comfortable with. So it's, you know, the laughter is a behavior, and it's a behavior around discomfort.
Yeah,
if you learn to be more comfortable, it's like any other sort of behavior that you need to extinguish. You got to have experience of closeness without laughing, and magically the laughter will kind of stay away.
You need a boyfriend. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
She laughs at everything. See?
Listen, it's probably good.
Yeah, it protects her.
I realize, too, as I think about it, we never really talked. You know, it just popped in my head, her laughing. But it popped in my head that we always talk about people and what they look like physically and all that kind of stuff. If you have a good mouth, it'll get you far.
A good mouth?
A good mouth. You mean making out mouth.
You mean the actual structure of the mouth?
Shape, your lips, your teeth, whether you're one of those guys who has a sort of mealy mouth or mush mouth.
If you're just a big pair of lips and nice white straight teeth attached to whatever, you're good to go.
I would say
that's you and the oral sex thing.
As a guy, it'll get you mileage. As a girl, not so much. Just listen to me.
There's nothing visual in a guy that routinely gets you mileage.
The mouth, I believe, gets you more mileage. It gets you closer to the make out. It gets you closer to the kissing and that kind of stuff.
Well, I'll agree with you this far, that a grody mouth is a...
That's a deal breaker.
Close you out. It's a deal breaker.
It can close you out. But think about this. Hold on for a second, Drew. Hold on.
Okay.
Just think about it.
I'm in. Okay.
Think about this.
I'm thinking.
Think about the celebrity males.
I don't know.
Tom Cruise or... Sean Penn or whoever it is or whoever the today's heartthrob du jour is, Hugh Grant, whoever. Mm-hmm. When you really take guys and you sort of break them down physically, Hugh Grant's physique is no nicer than any guy you know.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, from the neck down, is there a big difference?
No.
Not really.
No.
You go to junior college, there's 500 guys running around look better with their shirt off, right?
Stick with me.
Yep. Hair, nice, but again,
same.
Every guy I work with over at Kimmel has a nice set of hair for the most part, except for a guy named Gary, who's bald.
But that's
I promised
cool.
him I wouldn't bring his name up, but what are you going to do?
It's uncomfortable.
Eyes. Now, there's a lot of guys who do have nice eyes.
Doesn't matter.
Blue eyes,
that
whatever.
Doesn't seem to matter.
Nice nose. Well, we're going through process of elimination now.
But nose and chin does matter.
Nose and chin is a factor.
And then symmetry.
But here's the thing about
symmetry.
Nose. Symmetry, yes. Some of these guys' nose actually
is big.
Tom Cruise does not have a great nose.
Right.
If you isolate Tom Cruise's nose, and I've done it,
I think if you put adjectives to the male sort of features, you'd put symmetry and strength.
You would,
right?
You
put a strong nose, strong jaw.
Now we're getting down to the mouth.
Yeah.
And chin.
But that's
the mouth
soft,
and chin.
The mouth is soft and big, and those words aren't strong.
No, I'm saying that these guys, when you take a look at all the heartthrobs, the thing they all have going for them is that area, the size of
it's a big mouth.
Just listen to me, goofball. The size of a coffee cup, the opening in a coffee cup, that one area, which butts up to the bottom of your nose and goes to your chin.
Okay.
That area right there, that's what sells it. Because everyone, like I said, better physique. It's not your forehead, your hair. Yes, there's symmetry. Yes, there's the way it all ties in, but it's that mouth.
I think you might be right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Michelle.
Because
I agree.
Because
when
you're really talking about jaw.
You're talking about jaw and sort of mouth, lips, and that whole area. It's just right.
You're a lesbian.
It's just area right here.
Are you a lesbian?
Yeah. But she can have opinions as long as it's about softball.
And bowling.
Female. And female.
No, but she's a female. She gives a female opinion.
That's right.
You're a lesbian. She's doesn't experience arousal in the response to those things.
No,
right?
She does.
Right? But you can have the same sensibilities. Yeah.
Well, hold on a second. Tom Cruise, wouldn't...
He's a good-looking guy.
See, yeah. You're a lesbian.
Would you let him, you know, get down there on you?
No.
Just, is there a guy?
Just to say.
Is there a male that would... is there a male that sort of you look and go, oh, that maybe...
He's pretty. Well, yeah. I think, like, Brad Pitt is pretty. But I think that the ladies go after the physique of a guy...
You're a lesbian.
As well as the face, but
not very often. Surprisingly little.
They do, but here's the whole thing.
It's like they react to it and then they're over it very fast.
Here's all I'm saying. If you go to almost any park in any city in this in any state in the country on a weekend, you will see eight guys playing pickup basketball in shorts who have as good a physique
or better
as the heartthrob hunks do.
Right. It's not the bodybuilder type. It's sort of like a swimmer, you know.
Yeah.
It's the guys who aren't fat.
They aren't fat. Yeah. Not being fat gets a lot of mileage.
Mm-hmm. That's always been my claim to fame. Hey, ladies, I'm not fat.
And you have pretty takers. Feet.
I have beautiful feet.
And people love giving you oral.
They love giving me oral. And I have soft skin. And I'm graceful. I'm like a swan. All right. I know what the ladies like. They like giving me oral. All right. Let's check in with Amy before we go to break. Amy?
Yes?
You get a vagina. I don't want any vagina calls. Bleeds anally.
You want that?
I don't want it, but I'd like to talk to somebody who has it. Sarah?
Yes.
20?
Yes.
Anal bleeding?
Usually just when I use the restroom, yeah.
Oh, well, just when she's the
restroom. Only when you go number two. It doesn't come gushing out of your ass when you're, let's say, sitting at work.
At class. School.
Okay, hold on a second. We'll talk to Sarah about the anal bleeding after this. Yeah, Cucaracha, everybody.
Why are we listening to ranchero music? Real authentic.
A little Cinco de Mayo for your ass. Let me just tell you something. As a country, it's bad when the song most associated with your country is about a cockroach. If you really think about it. This would be like if the number one song in the United States was, "Hey the cockroach, hey the cockroach, yeah, da, 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 da. Ho the cockroach, yeah the cockroach."
I'm not so sure that that's a popular song in Mexico.
I think it is.
It is.
It's the number one
really?
Song. Michelle's, listen, let me tell you something. You got a lesbian question, you got a Mexican question.
She's there.
You direct
she's
it to Michelle.
It. Right.
You got a lesbian Mexican question. Woo.
All right, I got an anal bleeding question. Let's go.
Ask Michelle.
That's Adam.
Oh, that's me.
All right, let's go.
La Cucaracha, popular in Mexico. It's a national anthem. True, what are you talking about? Hey, got a cockroach. They couldn't write one about a rat, like a sewer rat, or maybe pubic lice or something like that. That's good. Cockroach. True. If you're a country, you got to write songs about eagles. You know what I mean? Yeah. Stay away from insects. All right. You ready to go? True's angry because it's hot in here.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
I was trying to get the air conditioning to turn on. It's crazy.
Well, what's going on?
I don't know. I broke it, I think.
Well, don't monkey.
I do it? Let me see.
Drew, remember when we used to be at Westwood One and I got angry and I kicked the thing off the wall?
Very memorable moment. And then they watched it on video for days afterwards.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know who took the fall for that?
I didn't know they won. How could anyone take the fall for that if there's a video of me walking on top of the console and kicking the thermostat off the wall?
They were very angry that I did not physically stop you from doing it.
Yeah.
They were. I talked to three different suits about that.
Oh, poor Anderson. Always taking the fall. Please.
Well, I had to talk to suits. That's taking the fall.
All right, but they weren't going to. They didn't blame you for stopping. I was a madman possessed. I had the strength of a guy on crack who'd been tasered by cops. I couldn't be stopped at that point. I was insane.
Glad you realized that,
Sarah. No, the bad part about the whole after I kicked the thermostat off the wall because I was burning up in the studio is the following morning I had to call them and ask for an engineer to come out to my house because I was doing a Howard Stern like link up thing. And
thermostat?
How about that thermostat? It was the first thing. It was, to be fair, it was about 7 hours later I actually called him asking for a favor. Sarah?
Hi.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
So
oh, yeah. Anal bleeding.
Yes. Every time I use the restroom, that's usually what happens. Not too much, just a little bit. I don't understand.
How long has that been going on for?
Not too long, maybe 3 weeks.
Okay. Well, that needs to be seen by a doctor immediately, okay? That can be polyps. It can be tumors. It can be something called arteriovenous malformations, internal hemorrhoids.
So what I was
There's a lot of different things. It could even be part of an inflammatory bowel disease, like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. It needs to be seen right away.
Any trauma down there?
No.
It can be part of a blood disorder where you're not clotting normally. All this needs to be investigated right away.
Really?
It's not normal for somebody your age to have anal bleeding.
Here's the whole thing. Blood in the semen, not a big deal. Blood in the urine, not that big a deal.
But it can be. It's got to be changed. If it's an infection, not a big deal. If it's not an infection, it is a big deal.
Blood in the stool.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There you go.
My God, it's working, the air conditioning.
Actually, I do feel it.
I fixed it.
Molly?
Yeah.
You're, it's like a penguin farted in here.
Wow.
Feels great.
Oh, my, is it?
Yeah. You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I think I have, like, a fear of the penis.
There's actually such a thing as called phallophobia.
Yeah, we'd get along just fine.
And usually, do you have a lot of anxiety, just generally an anxious person?
Well, not really. It's just, like, every time I get, like, the opportunity to give oral, like, I really want to, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
If you free associated
waiting in line, holding a deli number.
If you free associated about the worst thing that could happen doing that, what would it be?
I don't even know.
Just talk about it.
I don't think she knows what free association is.
What would be unpleasant about it? What are you fearful might happen? What's your sort
Molly,
of fantasy?
Molly, do you know what free association is?
I think so.
All right.
Molly's smart. Go ahead.
Let's try it. I say penis. You say what?
Fine. I think the idea of giving oral is really hot. Like, I really want to, but every time somebody, like, my ex-boyfriend, every time he'd ask me to do it, I'd be like, I can't.
Why?
I don't know. I was just afraid to do it.
I'm afraid because?
I have no idea.
I'm afraid because what might happen? Just what pops into your head.
Like diseases.
Okay. What else pops into your head? That's a real thing. What else?
Things can pop into her head.
Getting sick.
Like you'll vomit on him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That could happen. Okay. Mm. What else?
All right.
Are you afraid you might do something to him?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like hurt him somehow.
Right. That's usually my experience. That's usually behind us. There's a very faint fantasy you're going to somehow bite it off.
Mm. I've been told that I could do that before.
See?
Yeah.
There it is. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Is that what the fear is?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and usually behind that is a sort of a leftover aggression.
Mm.
Like you still, like there's an oral, do you like chewing on things? Ah. Like chewing ice and gum and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
See? Ooh. See? How about that, Adam? You like that?
Yeah, I do. I'm over it now.
Yes,
I think that's a lot of what that is. You're fearful. You've got some sort of unresolved sort of aggressive tendencies. Normal, no big deal. But the idea of the penis, I might just chomp it off.
Drew. Easy. Let's stick to the calls.
It's, what'd you call it, time?
It's finger popping.
No.
Penis chomping time? It's penis chomping time. Penis chomping time. It feels so good, and that's real good. So, hey now. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm really not going to be able to do it because I'm going to think of that every time.
Well, you need to be aware of those fears, that's all, and then be a little bit rational about them and sort of integrate them into your thinking. Like, I know he doesn't have disease. I know I'm not going to hurt him. I'm an adult. I can control myself. Nothing's going to happen.
You never had any trauma this way? Nobody made you do anything you didn't want to do?
Kind
of. What happened?
When I was really little, this really old guy, like, molested me.
Uh-oh. Well, there you go.
Wanted to, like, make out with him, and he was like 72. It was really gross.
What'd you 72?
Make out or just make out?
Like, make out.
But no oral stuff?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, like, it's taken a lot to get me to, like, admit to it.
All right, well, that may be something.
Forget everything
too.
Else I said.
All right, see? toss out all of Drew's work and just focus on my last 21 seconds and the penis chomping. So
yeah.
All right. Burning, itching sensation.
We're going to take a break.
We got it. Let's just knock. Let's get this one off the board. Burning and itching. Yes, Amy?
Hi. About 2 weeks ago, I had sex with this guy I've been seeing for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And we used a condom during the whole entire time we had sex. And now I have like this burning, itchy sensation.
Itching. Hold on.
Maybe just have a yeast infection.
It's vagina scratching time.
Probably.
Vagina scratching. Scratch. I could do almost anything in that song.
Almost with two words. It's probably just a yeast infection. You introduce something in there, you can get a yeast infection. So use some of the over-counter yeast medicine. If that doesn't work.
A little Metro cream there, baby.
Yeah, maybe a vaginitis. If the over-the-counter stuff doesn't work, you need to see a doctor.
So try first.
The over-the-counter cream. Yeast cream.
Yeast cream, all right?
Okay.
And if it doesn't clear it up, then you go see the doctor.
Right. All right. Could be some other things, but that's a common thing.
It's whizzing.
Oh, you and me?
Time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, draining wiener time. Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm singing that I'm whizzing.
Nice.
Now I'm whizzing. Huh?
Let's go.
All right.
I want to hear that.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Just having a chat with producer Ann and... you know, sometimes I forget how much I hate publicists and what horrible, wretched, worthless people they all are.
Yeah.
They really
Maybe
are.
That's why they steer their people away from us.
I know.
Just a little payback for that.
Oh, listen, kiss my ass, you horrible, horrible people. Because here's what publicists do, basically, is we get people that enjoy the show, who've been on the show, who like doing the show, who like us, and... they can't do the show because their publicists don't let them do the show, which is not what you guys want. It's not what we want. It's not what the clients want either. But it's what the horrible, wretched, wretched publicists want. And here's the whole thing about publicists. If you're a publicist, you're probably a horrible person. But the least thing you are is a worthless person. That's a best case scenario. Like, the best thing you could say about the world's greatest publicists is they're generally worthless.
You mean in terms of impact on the world?
Yeah, they didn't do anything. They'll go to their grave, and they will not have done anything, and no one will care. Mm. And here's the other thing. If they were around 100 years ago, they'd be doing nothing. They'd just be shaking a can in front of a saloon, maybe playing a little guitar. So that's their gig. They're sort of... they got a little. They're sort of meter maids. They got a little attorney in them. I'm trying to think, but they're really just the worst. Here's the whole thing. Yeah, here's why I hate publicists so much, because the thing about meter maids. Meter maids. There's a lot of horrible professions. There's roofers. It's horrible guys. Mm. There's meter maids. Horrible people. There's attorneys. Mostly horrible. But here's the whole thing. They realize they're horrible people for the most part. Like meter maids, they know they're horrible people. They just, it's $20 an hour and it's the best gig. It's either that or they got to go down to Del Taco. Mm. I mean, they have nothing else to do. So they just take one for the, you know. Publicists actually think they do something. And I think a lot of them think they're good people too. And they're horrible, wretched, wretched people. So please have some dignity. So, do something.
So we'll be having no guests on this show for the next couple of years until these words are forgotten about.
It's so horrible. It's so horrible.
My publicist does a lot of work for
me. And you know how much they want? They want like $3,000-$4,000 a month. $3,000-$4,000 a month. Couldn't just give you $100 a month. You could stay home and be a horrible person. You got to leave the house. Oh, Drew, remember that media training we had to do? You owe me.
I owe you a couple.
You owe me.
I do.
Just close your eyes and think back to all those moments where I stood up and I said, what are we doing, everybody?
You actually knew something then. I did not. And I apologize.
Thank you.
But I still, as time goes on, the debt seems to grow.
Yes, thank you.
Because it looks, history as you predicted.
Very kind.
Shines a bright light on those moments.
Oh, publicists, they have these things called media training. Where they get together and they tell you how to act when people interview you. Don't say kids, say young adults. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so much nonsense and BS. Everything just to justify their horrible lives. Listen, please, you do nothing. Do something, would you? Get out of the business, have a little dignity, and just go do something with your life. Do something real. You zero impact. Moths have a bigger impact on society than publicists do. All you guys do is get in between people and F things up. Please, either quit and do something or kill yourselves. That's nice. The way to do it. Have some dignity. You know what I mean? That's an honorable way to go. Just fall on. You know what you should do? Fall on your pen. That's what you do as a publicist.
Get your fancy
Mount Blanc pen and put it against your sternum and just fall on it. Please.
Here we go.
Please, you horrible, wretched people.
Ooh.
Tom?
Yes.
What's happening?
What's going on?
You're 26?
Yeah, I'm 26. 27 on May 14th. I don't know if that means anything to you guys, but...
Well, I'm going to... Drew.
Let's talk about that, shall we?
Well, first off, I got to pack a... I got to have to fart in a box and send it to him on the 14th. I'm going to send him my essence on the 14th.
Essence, yes.
Essence. He's going to be 27, so I got that looking forward to. What's he got going? Is that the radio? No.
I think we're getting feedback from his phone, and then he's driving.
Okay. Tom?
Yes.
Let's get to it here.
Okay. My question to you. My girlfriend, she's 24, and we watched porn one of our friends gave us. She is actually an avid porn collector. And
she is? She is?
A friend of ours let us borrow some porn. And on this porn...
Is it a she?
I'm sorry?
The porn collector, is it a woman?
No, it's our friend. His name's Rob. He's in Africa right now.
Oh,
Can you put him on hold for a second? Excuse me 1 second, Tom. Hang on 1 second, Tom. What's going on here with all the details about things that are irrelevant to the point? It's very interesting.
He's an avid porn collector. He's probably on safari.
He's Tom. He's in Nairobi right now. He's
in
probably 12 hours ahead right now.
He's hunting the ultimate prey. Porn stars.
I mean...
Yeah, he's on safari hunting porn stars. He's gonna. Oh, you should see his trophy room. You could get lost in there. That's a good weekend. He's an avid porn collector.
What would that make you?
He's got porn that goes all the way back to 89.
I mean, if he's an avid porn collector, you're...
Well, I'm a professional. I guess. First off,
Epicurean. Epicurean porn collector.
If every lightweight who blew through town with a rack of VHS porns was an avid porn collector, I'd be out of business right now.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
An avid porn collector. I'd shut him right down. Tom?
Yes.
All right. So in this video, you and your girl were watching. What happened?
This girl in the video, I guess she was coming, ejaculating, and I don't know if it was urine or cum, but it kind of shot out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since we'd seen that, my girlfriend's been doing that, and she completely soaks the sheets.
Is it urine? Do you think she's urinating?
Thank God she didn't defecate on the guy, because it'd be a long life with this girl. Yeah. So she just saw it? It's just a veggie see, veggie do?
Pretty much. And I'm not sure.
It's veggie squirting time. Veggie squirting time.
Dave Down Gurr, is that you? Oh, no, it's Adam. Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry. All right, Sam. Tom, so she's been sort of breaking loose with this ever since she saw it, because she thought it... Does it feel better to her?
It sounds like it feels better to her.
It sounds like it feels better to her. What does she think she's doing? Is she there?
Yeah, she's right here.
Can we talk to her,
put
please?
Her on the phone.
You want to talk to her? All right.
Yes.
Hello?
Thank
Hello.
You. So how does this work? You witnessed this and you decided this looks like a good idea?
She was holding it back before.
Were you holding it back before?
I guess. I don't know. Well, he wasn't hitting the spot that he now hits.
Oh, really?
But how did seeing the movie convert him to that spot?
I have no idea. I don't know. I just...
Hold on a second. Let me tell you. What stupid people do. They say something and then you follow it up and they don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, they don't even know the context of the question. It's like, what do you mean? It just happened.
Why? It was just a coincidence that he started hitting your squirt spot after seeing the squirt movie?
How, Is there something he saw in the movie that he imitated?
I don't know.
Or that you saw?
I don't know.
We're trying to understand how the movie impacted on both of you in such a way as to produce this behavior. Right?
Yeah, well, we both wanted to see if I could actually do that. And
right.
He was looking for a specific spot, and he finally hit the spot. So now every time we do have sex, that's
well, we've never actually talked to somebody that was sort of made into a squirter. So this is actually very interesting for us.
Yeah, good squirters are born; they're not made.
Right. And so, what? Try to describe to us so we understand what he does, what he's doing.
Well, he uses his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it during oral sex?
No, usually just when he just uses his fingers.
Yeah, you can't.
Where?
Where?
Yeah, where's he putting his fingers?
I'm thinking it's a G-spot, but I'm not sure. It's like a little...
Hold on, slow down. It's like a what?
G-spot.
So he's doing something with his fingers inside you?
Yes.
Do you normally orgasm during intercourse?
Yes.
Ooh. All right, so this is that...
Man,
yeah.
Tom, top of the world.
So he just fished around until he found something. And
pretty much.
Yes, but were you holding back at all, be honest, before this, when you saw the movie?
No.
We've been having sex for 3 years, so we're very comfortable with each other.
But do you have it during intercourse ever? Yeah, we hear that. We're like, whatever.
That's happened once or twice.
And how does he do that?
I don't know. It's usually when I'm...
By the way...
All right, but hold on.
Thank you
second.
For catching yourself with the I don't know.
Hold on. Let me just ask one more time. You guys watched this squirting movie together, and he said, boy, that's cool, right?
Pretty much.
And you, before this, never had any inkling that you were capable of squirting?
No.
Does it feel extra good when you do that?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Definitely, yeah.
Is it urine,
And you've never squirted before?
No.
Do you think it's urine?
No, I know it's definitely not.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Well, listen.
Good times.
Mazel tov.
Well done.
It's a mitzvah.
I'm curious. How long does it take her to do that? What's your name?
Jerry.
Susie. Sarah, whatever. How long does it take you to get to that point? How long does he have to sort of work on things?
A couple of minutes.
Wow. Interesting.
I was just thinking with fake names, everyone should just go ahead and have a fake name assigned to them early.
What would yours be?
You don't have to fish around. Dutch.
Dutch, yeah. Yeah.
Or Drake.
Dutch. Here we go.
Dutch.
How about Ace? It's the one you got.
Ace is solid.
That's your real name.
Yeah. The point, here's the point. You don't have to fish around for it.
Right. So people go, what's your name? Just say.
Cops pull you over. Huh? Yeah, cops pull you over drunk or whatever. You got that fake name. Pow. It's ready to go.
Here we go.
All right, where are we, Drew?
To a Germany or Florida. We need a break.
All right. Let's talk to...
By the way, the calls have been quite, quite interesting tonight.
Yeah, they've been good.
Quite good, yes.
What's up with that? Whose phone
screening? Credit where credit is due. I don't know. They've been very, very good.
Who's phone screening tonight?
I've been doing it all night.
Hello?
Yourself?
All right.
No, I'm kidding, Brian.
Yeah. Brian, really? What happened? Get that kid a CAT scan. These are great calls. Ben?
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah, I got Germany or Florida for you.
Here we go.
Okay. This town's first so-called baby drop box was put into service today. And now desperate women can drop off their newborn children anonymously and without fearing criminal prosecution. The infants will be laid into a warmed bed behind a steel hatch. Sensors will alert medical personnel, which will rush to care for the baby. The baby drop box is meant to prevent children from dying as a result of being abandoned somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that has been in place, that kind of thing has been in place for a few years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and it's just a change. They can take it to fire stations and things like that and drop a baby off. Now, in terms of abandoning...
Well, I've kind of heard the fire station
It's just another version of that. And so abandoning babies is a uniquely American, a homeland activity.
Yeah, this doesn't feel
Germans,
German at all.
No.
Experimenting on babies, that's a German
yeah.
thing. But dropping them?
No.
No. This is Florida.
Florida.
All right. It's Hamburg, Germany.
No.
No.
Yeah.
I'm totally taken by that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's amazing. What are your opinions about that? Do you have any, Drew?
Well, we've been doing it in this country for quite some time, and I think it's a good thing. It's a good alternative to the dumpster. which is where screwed up people, drug addicts, take their kids if they don't know if they're overwhelmed.
You take them to dumpsters. Yeah,
that's right.
How about just put them in a basket and put them on the Nile?
Obviously, yeah. Adam, I listened to about 3 different stories today about that. First time in a year. I was listening to some lectures about Moses or something. And I, Nile baskets again, 3 times.
Wow. All right.
What the hell? You've never said that ever.
It's called the Great Magnet. It pulls us all toward it.
You read my thoughts.
You're pretty easy, Drew. Yeah. You don't think about that much stuff.
That's true.
I got to tell you.
All right, so here's the deal. I much prefer that to the true abandonment and the neglect and the death of babies.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'd prefer children be raised by their parents actually be effective parents. But we're a long way from that in this country.
This is basically what the clean needle program is to the junkie, which is luck. We finally come to grips with the fact that people are going to do drugs and people are going to abandon their kids. So instead of shooting up with an infected needle, instead of throwing the kid in the dumpster, let's give them one of those drive through like at the bank with the drawer that slides out.
In the tube.
The tube. Right in the tube. All right, let's take a little. No, it's not time to take
a
break.
What's the matter with you?
Erect penis?
How dare you?
Yeah, let's take a call for Drew.
Oh, thank you.
It's been good. Alex?
Yeah.
21?
That's right.
What's up?
Nothing much. I was just wondering if Dr. Drew could recommend any other books besides Cracked that are like in the same vein, sort of like the same kind of books. I read it and I really liked it. So.
Well, thanks. I don't know of any books. That's why I sort of wrote it. I felt like there wasn't anything like that out there.
I see.
I don't think there. Here's what that book is: A doctor's experience taking care of addicts in a treatment center, and I tried to use myself as a character and how we as caretakers have to evolve and watch our boundaries and how we are so moved and affected by taking care of sick, emotionally ill people.
I hear it's a great read.
And someday I have a dream that my partner Adam Carolla will read, or at least read it on book or something. Mm. Or somebody will read it to him. Something. Something.
Okay, look, maybe if I break both my ankles.
Okay.
And I'm laid up.
I can get that done.
Yeah.
And Alex, I'm not aware of anything like that out there. There's lots of patient eye views, but I don't. Those are usually quite distorted. Right. Really not accurate rendition of what's happening.
Hold on. I've got to break both ankles, and someone has to take a softball bat to my TiVo. Okay.
Yeah, all your TiVos.
All my TiVos. Yeah. My multiple TiVos.
Yeah, think if we started just rolling through a couple TiVos, what you would do.
I'm a multiple TiVo owner. Yes. TiVi, I call them. I have multiple TiVo. All right.
Okay.
Let's talk to,
Laura.
Laura?
Hey.
Hey, you're 22.
Yes, sir.
It's L-A-R-A?
No, L-A-U-R-A.
There you go.
It's Laura.
Laura.
She says it like...
Okay.
All right, what's the deal? Where are you from, Laura?
San Francisco.
You grew up there?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Fantabulous. What's up?
I have a fear of erect penises.
That's a kind of a common fear. Do you have dreams about snakes and things?
Well, no.
Did you see a penis at a young age and it freaked you out? See a porno or something growing up?
Porno, no. I didn't, no.
Walking on your parents? Anybody do anything weird to you?
Yeah, I was molested. I have a very short memory, or not short memory, but I don't remember everything. I just know that I'm uncomfortable around certain male members of my family.
Let's put it this way. What if you'd been attacked by a chihuahua and when you were 5? Would you be surprised that you feel uncomfortable being around chihuahuas? So it makes sense. Just generally, just sort of intuitively, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you have to get through that. And then fear of closeness and fear of boundary violations and fear of being abused and all those things come along with males and male genitalia. So it's so natural. You've got to get treatment for that.
Oh, yeah. You got it. Who molested you?
It's kind of it started at age 2. I believe with my dad, because I'm uncomfortable. I have certain memories of feeling uncomfortable sitting in his lap. And then when I was about 4 years old, the neighborhood bully molested me every day.
Wow. A male?
Until I started going to kindergarten.
You know, I asked about the mail thing. Is it Jillian Barber? You know, from the weather girl from Good Day LA or LA Live, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be on my Discovery Health show and talk about the abuse she went through. And she was saying that it was her grandfather and this one. And then the neighborhood bully got into her. And the bully was a female and started cramming rocks up her vagina.
I know.
Yes.
You
were there? You talked to her about it?
I didn't do the rock cramming. I was there sorting rocks, you know, that would be suitable, vaginal size. I live with that. No, I was doing Howard Stern at some point a couple of years back, and she was in talking about having gravel put in her vagina. And I thought, yeah, maybe that falls under the heading of abuse. I think it does.
Yeah,
I think it does.
Yeah, smattering.
Smattering, yeah. But, you know, back then, kids didn't have, you know, Nintendo and, you know, these computer games. You had to make do with what you had.
Yeah,
go out and play kick the can or shove the rocks in the vagina or, you know, that other thing where you'd have that big hoop and that stick where you'd run down with that hoop and the stick. You see those old drawings, turn of the century, where they use that stick and they keep that big hoop going on. You've seen those drawings where they're putting the rocks in the vagina.
Yeah, it's going with all the Bruegel paintings and the Dutch and Flemish paintings.
Kids are dressed like little Dutch boys.
They're all the guys with the beer steins, and then, of course, the woman getting the rocks.
No, but the young boys who are
with
wearing,
the wheel.
They're wearing the knickers, the shorts and the bow ties.
Or the big ice skating scenes, you know, in the background.
Yeah,
and then the guy with the rocks.
Hans Christian Andersen.
It's Hans Bruegel, Peter Bruegel.
Same guy.
Both the elder and the younger.
True. Nose is hard, I'll tell you what. Yeah, so, Jillian Barbary is nice and nuts. And
afraid to talk.
No, but that's what happens when you get, you know.
It affects your wiring a little bit. Something I'd forgotten is she sought me out like 10 years ago and asked for a referral because she heard us talking about abuse on the radio.
Oh, really?
And then she was, you know, she was at Fox doing weather and they went, I hear this show. They talk about abuse. Why do they talk about it? Everyone gets abused. It's a big deal. Everyone let, not everyone. Oh, everyone. Uh-oh.
Yeah. No, I like that. You know what she is? She's sort of the female Tom Arnold.
Absolutely.
In that way.
Yes, absolutely.
Although more attractive. The thing about Tom Arnold is Tom Arnold was horribly abused, sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Arnold has sort of come to grips with it.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Arnold is not ashamed of it.
And not afraid to talk about it.
Because he was a victim.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not his fault.
No.
And
Jillian does the same
not
thing.
Afraid to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And God bless him. As opposed to the ones that got the crap beat out of them and explained that was just mama showing her love.
Right. Right, defending it.
Defending
and,
it.
And idealizing what happened rather than coming to terms with what really happened.
That's right. Larry.
Hello.
26?
Pardon, yes, I am 26.
What is happening?
Well, I don't think it's me having a problem, but I'm very long and medium size. And I was wondering.
You're a tall guy?
I'm 6'2".
6'2". Long penis, but not thick.
Yeah, it's just medium.
I don't know. That's a good look.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I mean, I'm just wondering. You know, I've been married for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, I'll, you know, do it a little quicker than I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's just happened every once in a while. If I think about something real stupid, then I'm...
You know, there's a medication that's going to be coming out very soon for premature ejaculation. It's basically an ultra-short-acting like Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
So it suppresses orgasm.
It's called Jack Off.
Damn.
I told them, I told them Jack Away.
Jack Away.
Yeah, that'd be the perfect one.
So what...
Problem with me is, it's more like I hear about everybody talking about the bigger it is.
There's a wives' tale out there that blackmails have larger penises.
My wife doesn't have a problem with me, but it's just I hear it all the time. I'm like, well, maybe I should get surgery and get a little bit bigger.
Well, here's the thing I find, Larry, about guys that are 80% of males fall into the 5 to 7 inch range.
Right.
And if you're in that range and you're preoccupied.
It seems like he's out of that range and he's on the happy side.
He's on the happy side of that range.
I'm on the happy side. I'll say I'm on the happy side. But maybe I just want to be a little bit bigger.
But listen. The guys that are not outside the lower range, meaning 5.5 and under, let's say, who are preoccupied about the size of their penis, are preoccupied about their self-worth. their esteem. That it's not about the penis. It's about your life and your work and the, you know, your position in the world.
All right, so are you saying if Larry got a promotion, started making more money, drove a nicer car, bought a nicer house, or did something like that?
That would have a...
I just bought a brand new house Friday.
That would have a higher probability. And if that doesn't do it, then it's a more fundamental esteem issue, maybe some therapy.
Well, how is life going, Larry? You're married? You got a new house?
I just moved out of here from California, so everything's going pretty good.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a security supervisor.
Mm-hmm. So you got
actually at work right now.
You got a decent gig. You bought a new house.
Yeah.
You and your wife are getting along fine.
We're getting along perfectly. It was just something that, you know, bugs me every once in a while.
All right, but
even when I was younger, the same thing. Like, yeah, we like it real big, this and that.
No.
The part
we rarely talk to women that want that.
But here's the thing. Here's what women want. They want good oral sex, and they want jewelry.
Yeah, I already know that. You don't got to tell me that.
Those are really the two things.
I really like
women,
Larry.
Yeah, I like Larry too. Oral sex and jewelry, and not necessarily in that order, are what women are into.
Yep.
You could really just distill it down to that.
Finally, your wife opened up on that one, huh?
She wants jewelry.
Let it be known. And here's the deal. You can't go, really? I'm literally a millionaire. Go buy yourself jewelry. No.
No.
You got to go buy it.
Yeah, you got to go buy it, and it's got to hurt just a little bit. Because
a little more than even a millionaire can handle.
Well, here's what it has to be. Wherever you're at financially, it's got to be a notch above that, so it hurts just a little bit. I mean, here's the deal, everybody. If you make 10 grand a year and you buy the old lady a $200 ring, it stings a little. If you make 100 grand a year and you buy her $200 ring, it don't sting, and she's pissed. If you make $80 million a year, you better not show up with anything under 40 grand or 400 grand. It's all, that's it. It's like taxes. It's just sort of percentage. That's what you pay. That's how it works. I mean, the reality is most any woman would go insane for a $40,000 ring, but not if your beau is Donald Trump.
Right.
Then it's like the guy spit on you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Now, guys don't work this way because we're just into stuff.
Right.
And we want ourselves the new Bentley GT. That's 170 grand. I don't care if the old man makes a gazillion, kabillion dollars. It's still 170 grand, and that's a car I want.
Here's the ultimate irony. If we could get it for 20,
Oh.
But if you got that ring for 20, no.
Listen, if my wife got me something I wanted for Christmas, and I said, where did you get it? And she said, she savagely beat the retarded neighbor kid and pried it from his cold, dead fingers. Smart thinking. Saved it. First off, saved a nice trip down to the Home Depot. That's number one. Secondly, I would have paid for the gift anyway, ironically. Here's what I got you. Here's what you got me.
That's what you wanted.
That's what I got me. All right. Hey, surprised what I got myself this year. All right. All right, listen, we got to take a break.
Brutal.
Brutal. But honest.
God.
Honest.
Oh.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Wow. That's a funkified groove.
Groove.
That's a Stone gas. Yeah. And Michelle Stone Fox. Let's...
your lesbian.
What happened to Engineer Chris? Is he around anymore?
Huh?
I miss that kid. There he is. Where is he?
Here Sunday through Tuesday.
Oh, I was out of town. Okay.
Right on.
Yeah, right. Should we take some calls, Drew?
Yeah, that's good.
Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Whatever.
One class at junior college, everybody. 29.
Working hard, come on.
All right. See, Drew, you look at me as cruel.
Yes.
But now what if...
A cruel master.
Thank you. What if your patients said, you know, when you looked at them and you said, you have a problem with heroin, you better face up to that. And they said, whoa. And what if a person next to you said, true, come on.
They do that kind of thing.
Not being nice.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? No, you're doing your job. Saving this person's life.
Yes, I hear you.
You understand? That's what I do with Engineer Chris in junior college.
That's all right. I'm used to it. Whatever.
Emily, what's going on? 24.
Hi, I was calling. I actually work at a detox myself, and
We had a kid come in that had used a bunch of methamphetamine and never got better after darn near our maximum of being able to hold him there. And I was wondering if...
What's your maximum?
48 hours.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So I was wondering if methamphetamine psychosis, does that really exist? Can it permanently, like, damage your brain?
Let me answer all those questions, but first ask, what were the qualities of his delusions? Was he worried about his family and neighbors and that sort of thing?
That people were after him. He would affect an Irish accent and start talking about smoking green stuff.
And who were the people that were after him? Could he tell you?
He didn't.
You couldn't take it. All right. Well, methamphetamine psychosis comes on very slowly. It's usually a very bizarre and elaborate delusion about people close to them. That Runaway Bride was a classic amphetamine psychosis.
Great movie. People
are after me. Yeah. People, I got to run away from my family, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's neighbors, friends, coworkers. They'll start boarding up their house and putting plastic bags over their vents, this sort of thing. That's a classic amphetamine psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
When one is well established after large doses of smoking amphetamine particularly, it can last for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it was only 48 hours, still, you can't, it might be the beginning of a more serious psychiatric condition like schizophrenia, or it could still be an amphetamine psychosis that hasn't cleared.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about methamphetamine psychosis is that a certain amount of it, fairly clearly now, they've been proving is permanent. That if you use a lot of speed, you'll end up with a chronic paranoid preoccupation. Certainly not as elaborate and as intense as when they come in after they've been using, but a kind of a mild, persistent paranoia.
Let me say this, Drew, as I was thinking about the 48 hours,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes I get confused. We're like, gentlemen, we have 72 hours to bring this man down.
Yes.
And I'll be like, so we don't have to find him until the end
How
of summer?
Days?
How many days is that? You know what I was thinking?
Yeah.
24 hours? Confusing. 25 hours in a day.
Much easier.
I would be like, gentlemen, we have 75. Oh, that's 3 days.
Yeah. 100 hours? 4 days?
4 days. It'd be easier. 25, you know, 2 days,
you could make
50 hours.
You could make it 20, too. I mean, 20, it's a harder read.
I would rather, here's what I would suggest, and when I'm in charge, this is what we're going to do. We make an hour instead of 60 minutes.
100?
We get like, no. Oh.
100 minutes.
Ooh, and then we go
metric.
To a 20 hour, and
metric.
Then we go to a 20 hour week.
Perfect, metric. Everything's metric.
Oh, but just listen. We make an hour 57 and a half minutes, okay? And then that gets us to a 25-hour day. You
perfect.
See?
Yeah, perfect.
And the only problem I would see is when people say 24/7, we have to change to 25/7 now.
We can help.
Other than that, that's the
easy.
Biggest hurdle to get
that's
over.
That's an easy move. Good. Well done.
So, now, gentlemen, you have 50 hours to find this convict. Oh, 2 days.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's metric. We need everything to be metric, don't we?
We could go metric. Yeah. Metric is a much better system.
Of course.
I hate to get behind anything that comes out of Europe, but it's just a better system.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know why metric is better?
10. That's why.
10 is better. Yeah. No, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly.
10 is better than 12.
I will give you just a good example of why metric is better. Because if you are, first off, if you ever open one of those drill indexes where they have 100 different drill bit sizes, and they just keep going up, they go like, so at a certain point you're at 12/64 and what's bigger, 12/64 or 5/32nd?
Right.
Your head just starts exploding.
Yes.
You get a ratchet, you get a standard ratchet out, you get a socket, it's like 5/8 isn't working. Should we go down to 9/16 or should we go up to 13/16? Now metric, if the 10 is too small, you go to 11.
Right.
11 is too small, you go to 12.
Right.
It's real. It fits in your head. You don't get all these, all these 5/64 and things like that. And if you look at a drill index, you will see millions of different sizes, fractions you've never heard of in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to add two of them. Try to add the 3/32 with the 21/64. Have fun. See, metric, it's easy. Just put the 10 millimeters in with the 3 millimeters, and you got your 13. All right, there you go, Drew.
There you go.
Listen, why not inform while we entertain ourselves? Jordan?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes. What time is it right now? In 20 minutes, I'll be 20.
Are you talking into your phone, sweetie?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
Oh, my goodness. Much easy. Better.
There we go.
And what time is it right now?
You're almost 20. We got that.
It's finger popping time. Yeah, we get it. You got a birthday. So is everyone else on the planet. Thank you.
Who cares? Happy birthday. You're not special.
Right. Okay. I'll tell you, according to the K-Rock bulletin board, I'll tell you who's having a birthday May 27th around here.
My young Jung-Yoon.
Not the ace man, but my young Jung-Yoon Kim, who evidently doesn't even work here anymore because Michelle did some research. We're celebrating her birthday big time, but not the ace man.
No.
Not the anchor of the station.
No.
Go ahead, Jordan. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to first off tell you guys that I am one of your most dedicated listeners.
Really?
I listen to you guys religiously all the time. I think you guys are probably two of the most, as you say, sexiest men alive. Mm. Like, your intelligence is just... Mm.
That makes me sexy.
Incredibly sexy.
Thank you, baby. Do you,
Who cares?
Ooh, Anderson.
You know how many millimeters are in an inch?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Do you know how many millimeters are in an inch?
Yes, I do. That's one of the things that makes me sexy. I think it's like 25 and change, like 25.4.
Okay. Maybe it's 26. Here's my question.
Yeah.
About a week ago, I found out that I had herpes. And I am really, like, I don't really know much. And I am kind of embarrassed to ask people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you mean you found out you had herpes? How did you discover that?
The guy that I've been dating for a while, told me that he, like, had an outbreak, and he went and got tested, and found out he had. He's the only one that has really slept around him, and they're, you know.
And you had an outbreak, too?
No, actually, I haven't.
So maybe you didn't contract it.
Hmm.
I don't think I... We usually don't have protected. Sounds real bad, but,
Have you had any pelvic pain or vaginal discharge or vaginal irritation?
That was my second question. I was wondering if while having sex, if I get these horrible sharp pains in my back and in my in my stomach, you know, where your hip bone is.
Yeah, but that's him sort of hitting your viscera. I mean, you maybe have endometriosis or ovarian cyst or even inflammation or infection of the uterus can cause all that.
Maybe there's a conch on the bed, too.
You need to get in and have a pelvic exam. First of all, to see if there's any evidence of having had or having herpes. And secondly, to make sure there's not something predisposing to this terrible pain with deep penetration.
Yeah. Hey, Michelle, find out how many millimeters. 25.4? 0.3? Yeah.
I hate that. That converting metric to...
There's 2.54 centimeters, so...
Mm.
So there you go. That's 25.4 millimeters.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
2.54?
Yeah. 25.4.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah! When we come back, I'm going to tell you how many cubic inches is in a liter.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Edge your seat, kitty. Edge your seat. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. All right. I know you guys have all been waiting for this.
Huh?
Cubic inches.
Yeah.
How many equal 1 liter? You ready?
Ready.
60.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not cubic centimeters, but cubic inches. That's good. Excellent.
Yeah. And it's cubic centimeters, too.
It'll be 1,000 cubic centimeters, right?
Yeah, it's a weird... Yeah. Well, listen. It's a weird thing. What, no. 1,000...
What?
1,000 cubic centimeters is a liter.
Right.
And so 60 cubic inches equal 1,000 cubic centimeters and cc's.
Is the 1,000. Yeah.
Right. So when you go back and you think about these huge engines like these 455s or 454s, you realize they're like 8 liters.
Wow.
Your car, you think you got a big V8 with four liters. See what I'm saying?
Wow.
All right. You ready to run?
Here we go.
Summer?
26?
Yes.
What's happening?
Nothing. I'm driving home. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm an hour behind on your show. So when I'm listening to my radio, I hear you guys talking about the pretty mouth. and I love a man with a pretty mouth. When I walk into a bar, I see a guy with sexy teeth and lips. Even if his teeth aren't perfectly straight, if he's just got the sexy mouth,
What for a guy is a sexy mouth? What does that mean? Describe it.
I don't know. Luscious lips, attractive smile.
That doesn't help us. The qualitative.
I'll tell you what a nice mouth, chin. Zone. Remember I said it's like if you take a coffee mug and you place it underneath your nose, that area, that's like George Clooney.
But it needs, the chin needs to come forward.
Nice mouth. Yeah, a little cleft in there is nice. But like guy like George Clooney, nice mouth.
Big space from nose to lip, upper lip?
Yeah.
Upper lip turned up? I don't know, big lip?
Whatever. They'll know it when they see it. And so will you, Drew.
Oh.
Yeah. So, because asses don't change that much, and, eyes, hair, they're all sort of interchangeable. But that mouth, that area, that does it. Now, see, the thing about it for guys is it's quite a bit different.
We're zeroing in all kinds of things.
We zero in all kinds of things, but you don't see the physiques that a lot of these women have everywhere. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just don't see Jessica Simpson's body everywhere when you're going through the park.
Right.
Especially out in Anchorage. So your name is Summer, and you've been condemned to Anchorage. What a horrible life.
I'm born and raised here. I love this state.
Really?
So cold.
All right.
I'm outdoorsy. I love hunting and camping and fishing.
How come you aren't flying right now from one place to the other like everybody does?
The hair around her vagina just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. She was talking. She's like, "I'm from Anchorage. All right, it's pretty big. I'm outdoorsy.
Raccoon.
Now we're at raccoon.
Hunting. Oh my god.
Oh, we're at Sharpay.
And outdoors with bison.
We're getting black bear. And then we're going to moose. And then we're going to those things that they rode on Star Wars through the forest. I mean, just kept I watch a lot of those World War II things, and they show those old maps, and they're like Nazi Germany, and they show the red color expanding over Europe. Yeah. That's what was happening with her badge hair. She was talking about hunting and fishing and being outdoors. Yeah,
that's how it works. It's well done.
Summer?
Yes.
All right. How are you downstairs? You stay groomed? You keep groomed?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. That just means she has about as much as Marty Allen had on his head back in the 70s. That's groomed for Anchorage. What are you doing over there in Anchorage?
Landscaping, accounting.
Oh, just keeps getting. Oh.
Cocktailing.
I guess you have to do everything when you're in Anchorage, right?
Yeah.
All right. You must be great at all those things.
I
imagine you're a fantastic landscape architect and an exquisite accountant.
Yep.
Okay. And everything cool? You got a man?
Sort of. Mm-mm. He's new. We'll see.
And what about Dad? Alcoholic?
Nope.
Running? What's his story?
Why did he flee to Anchorage?
Oh, my parents were both born and raised here, too.
Really?
What?
Yeah,
are you Indian? You're Indian.
Are you Indian?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Just round eyes, huh?
Yep, blue eyes.
And they were and then your grandfather as well?
Yeah. My grandfather moved here in the 30s, I think. He ran the mail route from Seward to Hope and Cooper's Landing for like 40 years.
Same with my family. He ran mail?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. What are you doing in? Are you doing in a truck or something?
Yep, four-wheel drive pickup.
Wow. It was a big deal just moving mail and junk back then.
Anchorage is still pretty...
So the point is Summer likes a mouth on a man.
Yeah.
And I don't think women even know they like a mouth. I think women talk about eyes, and they talk about tight buns, and they talk about, six-pack abs, but the mouth, will be a deal-breaker.
Well, the jaw stuff may have some sort of X factor effect on them, you know what I mean?
I think there's some sort of primitive, bone-crushing thing that, yes, Drew?
Yes.
Yes?
I agree with you.
Okay.
The Anchorage, I went up there once, and I have some images stayed with me. One was moose walked down the street, middle of
Anchorage. Really?
Walked in the middle of town. Coldest F I've ever been in my entire life.
Really?
Hotel room couldn't warm up.
Couldn't warm up. Too cold outside.
Couldn't get warm. I mean, I was like...
You're freezing.
Freezing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had a story.
Yeah.
Everybody had an airplane with big fluffy tires.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge tires to land on the fields and stuff with.
Yeah.
And there were thousands of them.
Airplanes. Yeah, people use them like mopeds like, over
yeah,
there.
Like, yeah, like four-wheel
drive. That's how they get around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strange. And...
Bush guys. Bush pilots.
Everyone talks about the earthquake.
Speaking of Bush.
I know. Yeah. But everyone talks about the earthquake of whatever it was, 68 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a constant topic of conversation.
It's huge. Well, they had a tsunami, I think, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Still talking about that earthquake.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, that's what you do when you're in Anchorage. All right. Let's say escort wants to hold an intervention? Fellow escorts?
She's a drug addict.
Jesse?
Yeah?
You're an escort?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But is that a prostitute?
Well, I mean, it's alcohol, nude entertainment. It's legal. But basically, what we're legally allowed to do is nothing. We're not even allowed to shake hands, pretty much, once we exchange the money.
And so when you do...
When you do, then form fellatio on the guy. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's different than what most people think.
Hold on. Wouldn't you rather just your daughter tell you she was a high-class hooker than out-call nude entertainment? You know what I'm saying?
My brain can't handle that stuff.
I know, but it's like... Better your kid just be an assassin than just a guy rips off junkies.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a little it's worse, but it's better at the same time.
It's a profession.
Yeah. Hold on, we got to take a break.
Jesse, here's the deal. There are people who help you with interventions. Call a local treatment center where you're living and get some help.
She's in Los Angeles.
Don't do it yourself.
Talk to a pro. Yeah. Got to have a fat guy with huge calves and a ponytail and a leather fanny pack to come over there and tell you blowhard stories about with dates involved. Though. September 28, 1976, took my first drink of hard grain alcohol. Okay? All right. We'll be back. Well, that's the show. That's the week. Everybody, I want to thank you all for listening. I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. Phone screener Brian, back.
Tonight, excellent calls.
He just put America on notice. He's back, and nobody cares. But the point is we do.
He's doing
a great job. Engineer Anderson, the magic-fingered one. I got to believe it was at least just Brian's proximity to greatness that brought
inspiring.
Him back in such a strong way. Inspiring. His muse.
Mm-hmm.
His big... Chunky tattooed muse with the huge
cat. Let's get out of here.
Okay. I want to thank engineer Chris for doing a fantabulous job this week. And of course, engineer Michelle for doing a great job. And junior producer Lauren. Boy, I'll tell you, she's a cat who has nine lives, that one too. Talk about back. And of course, producer Ann. Rock solid. Steady as she goes. Huh? Steady as she goes. So, until next time, this is Adam Crawler for Dr. Drew saying...
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Dying to chug wiener all day. I've been thinking about it at work. I couldn't wait until the weekend came when it was wiener chugging time.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.